And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, we are spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. This thrown in for good measure. Right Side Radio, loving this gig. And Boomer and I laugh because he knows I have to wait until Sammy Hagar does his shout right there before I can, after that bump, I have to. So he's like, he's giving me a thumbs up, and he remembers, oh, yeah, he's not going to go yet. Hey, by the way, more breaking news. I can't hear it because we've got it muted right now because we're in studio, obviously. But the big screen on the right is Fox News. And General Jack Keane talking with one of the commentators. Taiwan is saying there are 50-plus Chinese aircraft and ships surrounding the island. I'm assuming that's a training event. What they've basically done, China... If anything, I would say that China has indicated, you know, clearly what its plans would be because they've been staging war games, and those war games clearly indicate that what their plan would be to blockade China in full, like surround the island, prevent it from having any resupply or refit or the ability to be reached for any reason or for that matter for export, basically choking off the island. That's what it appears their plan would be. Well, right now. We're also hearing that China and Russia will hold joint military drills. That's not good. All right. Hey, listen, number one on the Triple Dipper today, live free or die. So the Second Amendment, and it's one of many. You know, we have a number of amendments, right? You can think of the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the right to assemble, the right to bear arms, the right to due process, the freedom of religion, the sovereign right of states to have independence from the federal government to establish their own laws as long as they don't, in some way contravene established federal law that was reserved to the federal government, by the way. The amendments are there for a reason, the Second Amendment, of course, being the uninfringable right to bear arms. Well, 1819 News published this thing yesterday, and I saw it in multiple places, but of course my friends at 1819 get credit from me. So here's the deal. Dated yesterday, Smith & Wesson CEO Mark Smith slams efforts to disparage the company over gun violence, says politicians are to blame for the surge in violence and lawlessness. This is like one of the most epic pushbacks I have seen from any corporate CEO for anything. Now granted, it's a gun manufacturer, and he's pushing back against those who are opposing gun manufacturers. But you know what? We need to have more people like, you know, Mike Lindell at MyPillow, or the guy who's the president of Goya Foods, or this guy right here, CEO Mark Smith of Smith & Wesson. So here's the deal. The statement comes in response to the U.S. House Oversight Committee subpoenaing Smith's company for information related to AR-15-style firearms. Golly. Smith ripped the effort to shift the blame to Smith & Wesson and other firearm manufacturers amid an uptick in violence. He asserted that cities suffering most from violent crime were the same cities that promoted irresponsible soft-on-crime policies that often treat criminals as victims and victims as criminals. So here we go. You ready? Here's the meat of the statement. I'm just going to read you this paragraph because it's so good. I mean, it just warms the cockles of my little conservative heart. So here we go. A number of politicians and their lobbying partners in the media have recently sought to disparage Smith & Wesson, Smith said in a release on Monday. Some have had the audacity to suggest that after they have vilified, undermined, and defunded law enforcement for years, supported prosecutors who refuse to hold criminals accountable for their actions, overseen the decay of our country's mental health infrastructure, and generally promoted a culture of lawlessness, that Smith & Wesson and other firearm manufacturers are somehow responsible for the crime wave that has predictably resulted from their destructive policies. But they are the ones to blame for the surge in violence and lawlessness, and they seek to avoid any responsibility for the crisis of violence they've created by attempting to shift the blame to Smith & Wesson, other firearm manufacturers, and law-abiding gun owners. Yeah, get her done, CEO Mark Smith. And then I love this part. This is my favorite. In responding to the claims that the guns create the violence, he says, to be clear, a Smith & Wesson firearm has never broken into a home. A Smith & Wesson firearm has never assaulted a woman out for a late-night run of the city. A Smith & Wesson firearm has never carjacked an unsuspecting driver stopped at a traffic light. Instead, Smith & Wesson provides citizens with the means to protect themselves and their families. Yeah. Get her done. Boomer, Boomer's a gun guy, too. He's over here getting all fired up.
That's right.
But you know what, though? It ain't all friendly out there. He was responding to an increased level of effort, like almost like a rabid level of effort right now on the liberal anti-gun scene to try and abridge our Second Amendment rights. USA Today reports that the Supreme Court recently handed down a sweeping Second Amendment decision in late June, striking down New York's law regulating permits. Well, I will point out to you, a state is not allowed to create obstacles to the Second Amendment rights or any other rights for that matter, but they tried one immediately afterwards. Because what happened? New York got struck down, and New York immediately came back with more state legislation trying to get around the most recent decision by the Supreme Court. You see, they had a very arbitrary policy to prevent people from having a carry permit in New York. And it was struck down because it placed an unnecessary burden. It did not provide a litmus test that was reasonable in its scope. Well, here's the deal. CNN reports, I went to CNN, July 30th, so this would be what, 18 days ago? 19 days? Article on CNN. Dated July 30th. These are the gun control laws passed in 2022 so far. Just so you know, Alabama doesn't have any. So, yeah, there's gun control, which basically means gun, you know, restrictions. And then there's gun freedom. Well, Alabama's a gun freedom state. We're an open carry state. We're also a state that just recently did away with the requirement to have a permit to carry concealed. And we're a very gun-friendly state. Points out here in this article, not everyone agrees that increased gun control is the answer. You think? Some lawmakers have forged ahead, though, with passing gun control laws. And so here they go. I'm going to give you some of them. First of all, there was that federal legislation, June 25th. President Biden signed into law the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. I will point out that if you did an acronym, the first two letters would be BS. There you go. Take that for what it's worth. But the package includes $750 million to help states implement and run crisis intervention programs, which can also be used to manage what they call red flag laws. Red flag laws basically mean that they can decide arbitrarily at the bureaucrat level, or for that matter, the state legislative level, it's a good idea for them not to have a gun. We need a permit. All right, if you're in that category, you can't have that gun permit. That's, you know, it's a red flag. And anybody can, you know, then what? How do you keep that from being abused? All right. The package includes $750 million to entice states to do this. We'll see how that goes. But the legislation also, though, by the way, a lot of folks don't realize this, it included encouragement for states to include juvenile records in the background checks. Juvenile records. Juvenile records are generally supposed to be sealed because there's a recognition in the law that with the exception of, you know, totally egregious crimes, in which cases they're often tried by as an adult, but if they are, generally speaking, a youthful offender, that's often sealed because the immaturity of youth may well have led to a decision that the more mature person would not have done, and they hate to have that travel with them the rest of their lives. Youthful offender status usually gives you the opportunity to have these things sealed away so it can't be held against you if it was a nonviolent or some other type of crime that could, you know, jeopardize your opportunity to get a job later or whatever else. Well, now they want those included in the background checks. Interesting. Interesting how that works out. All right. Does that include drug offenses? Ask Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin how he feels about that. California. California Governor Gavin Newsom in July signed a package of 5 bills on gun safety. By the way, this is a CNN article. Not my words, theirs. Gun safety. All right. First one, it was bill number 2571 prohibited the gun industry from marketing firearm-related products to minors. What does that mean? Does that mean Glock can't do a cartoon ad? What is that? Boomer, do you have any idea how were they actually marketing to minors?
I have no clue. I would guess, did they put a, you know, stuffed gun?
Can't sell Nerf guns now?
Yeah, exactly. What is that? Maybe that's what it was.
I guess the paintball industry and the airsoft industry is out of business.
Yeah, Paw Patrol can't have a chase because he's a policeman.
Oh, see, you're now,
that was a big thing.
You just stepped over the line.
My bad.
Don't mess with Paw Patrol.
I know. I mean, even my son would probably get mad at me right now.
Well, not mad at you. I'm talking about them. Them too.
Yeah.
You're not the one limiting Paw Patrol. All right. Other things that the governor, Gavin Newsom, in all of his wisdom, signed into law. Legislation that establishes a firearm industry standard of conduct to promote safe and responsible firearm industry member practices. Well, who decides that? I mean, apparently that's not self-governing. We're going to tell you, by the way, what we think is your best conduct. Okay. See that one in court. How about this one? A bill which cracks down on the manufacture of firearms by prohibiting any person, regardless of federal licensure, from manufacturing firearms without a state license. Okay. Well, you already got your state business license. Now you got to have a state business gun manufacturer's license. And then this one. This, to me, is the most egregious. A bill that allows private citizens to bring a civil action, a lawsuit, basically, against anyone who manufactures, distributes, transports, or imports assault weapons or ghost guns, which are banned in the state. So here's the bottom line. What that sounds like to me is if I traveled into California and in the trunk of my car, I had, you know, an AR, and that AR was with me and something happened, the car was stolen and it was used in a crime later, these civil lawsuits would allow me to then be sued because I had brought it into the state. That's what it means. Don't tell me this ain't going to be a conundrum. How about Colorado? Oh, Colorado, pray tell, what are you doing out there with your legalized marijuana? The law prohibits there a new law. A person from openly carrying a firearm within any polling location or counting facility. Okay, so we won't be toting our firearms on election day in Colorado. How about Delaware? Delaware Governor John Carney on June 30 signed a package of gun safety bills. Gun safety again. That includes legislation to prohibit assault weapons, regulate high-capacity magazines, and strengthen background checks. High-capacity magazines. Assault weapons. These are scary. By the way, so if I've got, you know, a basic combat load with me of 30-round magazines, and I decide, or I go to a place where they say, no, you can't have that. That's too much. You have to have, you know, 10-round magazine. First of all, they don't make 10-round magazines. The magazine well on an AR-15, you would lose the magazine up inside. You have to. I guess they're going to have to put a spacer inside of a 20-round magazine. But even still, let's say I've got nothing but 20s. I can still change those out pretty fast. I mean, in a matter of seconds, I can change to a new 30-round or I can change to a new 20-round. So I'll just carry a few extra to make up for you knuckleheads thinking you just saved the day. I mean, what... These are inane laws. The magazine does not make a difference. Well, you don't need to have 30 rounds. I don't? Why not? So I can have 20, but I can't have 30. But I can change out the magazine pretty freaking quick. I mean, they don't understand that. Anyway, okay, move on, Phil. Maryland. Ah, Maryland. Bans the possession or sale of ghost guns. Those ghost guns are pretty scary. Ghost guns. Ghost guns. You know what a ghost gun is, Boomer? I mean, I'd never heard of it this year.
I don't know.
A ghost gun is apparently it's a gun that doesn't have a serial number on it, or a gun that may have been manufactured from other gun parts, like it was built at home, you know, ordering parts online or something like that.
Hmm.
So it's a gun that's not doesn't have an ability to be registered. It's unknown to the world.
Ghost gun.
It's a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's spooky. All right, so forget that. We'll move on. New Jersey. Governor Phil Murphy signed on July 5th seven gun safety bills. Safety, again. Six of which were part of his Gun Safety 3.0 package he introduced in the legislature in April of 2021. It includes legislation that will allow, this is big, the state attorney general to sue members of the firearm industry for violations that stem from the sale or marketing of firearms. So here's the bottom line. Manufacturer liability is the quickest way to crush industry in your state. If you think for a second that manufacturers who employ hundreds of people, thousands of people, are going to want to locate in a state in which you make it a crime virtually to just be in that industry, you're wrong. And I'm sure, you know, Governor Phil Murphy would go, we don't want them here. Well, you're not going to get them there, but you just opened up tort hell. Because the allegations will be levied and the lawsuits will be heavy, and the state will use tax dollars to go after these manufacturers. I just ran long, Boomer. I'm just sitting here just running off at the mouth, brother. Let's go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come back from that, and we'll finish up this segment. Number one of the Triple Dipper, live free or die. What is the ATF doing? Have you heard about the new thing happening with the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, guys? They're knocking on doors. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Tell you about it when we get back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. We are in number one of the Triple Dipper. Live free or die, I call it. Live free or die. T-shirts have been made with that moniker. It's a great phrase. But you know what? It goes back to the notion that if we cannot live free, is life worth living? Well, listen. I'm not going to go ahead and second guess whether or not life is worth living without a firearm, but I'll tell you this, we have rights. And the Second Amendment right, it shall not be abridged. That's what it says. But it's interesting what states are trying to do. It's interesting what the federal government is trying to do. It's interesting how they slip things in sometimes, and then you have to deal with it after the fact. Because they know that what it takes to go and litigate something that they legislated without telling us is amazing. Well, did you know that something was slipped into a bill earlier this year? I mean, they took the entire section of a bill and dropped it into one massive omnibus government spending package, and it dealt with your Second Amendment. So if you're not familiar, there's been a new trend that we're seeing right now is that the ATF is periodically showing up at people's houses, knocking on the door. They're not making a scene, but yet they are, if you know what I mean, because it's very uncomfortable for you to have your neighbors look out the window and go, "Hey, how come John Boy has people out there on his front porch wearing vests and badges? What did he do wrong?" Didn't do anything wrong. Bought a gun, and they came by to double check you. That happened recently, and the guy actually had his Ring doorbell, audio and video recording of the situation. Three law enforcement officers, one state trooper, two ATF agents showed up at his house, and this told him that, "Hey, sir, we saw on the list that you purchased several firearms. We got to make sure you're not a straw man purchaser and you bought it for somebody else, so we just need to see them." He's like, "Who are you?" Well, they're wearing their vests. They showed him their badges, but you got to admit, it's a little creepy. So they talked for a minute. He went inside. The video and audio recording literally showed the officer standing outside. One of them said, "I don't think he believes we're police officers," and the other one said, "Do you blame him?" And the guy brought one of the firearms. He goes, "Well, here's one of them." And they looked at it and said, "That's good enough, sir. We're sorry to bother you." And they left. Okay, I get it. They didn't raid his house. They didn't secure the firearms. But they certainly invaded the province of his personal security for no other reason except that he had lawfully purchased firearms. Well, story in the Washington Times, dated August 16th, so 2 days ago. Gun owners and constitutionalists at large are growing increasingly concerned by an invasive new policy to be enforced by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, which will mandate the reporting of background check delays and denials to local law enforcement when someone tries to purchase a firearm. So right now, here's the deal. Roughly 90% of all background check denials wind up being false flags. They wind up being the kind of thing that very quickly you go, "Oh, we're sorry, sir, it was a mistake." So they don't pass it on to local law enforcement for enforcement, because there's too much there to do. In the meantime, though, they slipped a provision into the omnibus spending package this year that literally says we will turn this over to local law enforcement, and local law enforcement will go knock on the door, and they will check and find out why the background check, which 90% of them are wrong, actually said you shouldn't have. Wow. All right, folks, live free or die. Coming up next, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth has walked into the studio. We'll have some time to talk to him about stuff going on in the state. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.